worthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Right? And we're just going to kind of take this passage that we just read, and we're just going to kind of break it down and apply it, obviously, to how it works with communion. We go back to verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So basically this means don't come here. What does it mean to take the Lord's Supper, take communion in an unworthy manner? That's coming in knowingly, basically, that you have some kind of sin in your life that you haven't repented of, right? Let's just use an extreme example. Let's say last night you went downtown Chase City and you robbed a bank, right? Or robbed one of the convenience stores, broke in, baseball bat, you know, broke through the window and took the register and took a pair of gloves that were sitting there on the counter and said, hey, I made off pretty good. You know, what a great Saturday night I had. And then you show up to church, you know, and you take the Lord's Supper, right? Well, what's the problem there? You know, the Bible says that if we confess our sins to the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what sin is at its core, what the basic definition of sin is a separating. It's like a gulf. It's like a separation between us and God. So if we come here in an unworthy manner, let's say that same thief that was robbing convenience stores last night, he came here to church this morning and took the Lord's Supper. Well, guess what he's doing? He's taking it in an unworthy manner, right? But let's say that after he robbed the stores last night, he went and, man, the Lord really came down on his shoulders and he was just, man, the Lord really showed him, hey, you sinned, you messed up. You know, you need to ask forgiveness. You know, and he stopped right there amidst the stealing and he, you know, he asked forgiveness to God. He called up the owner, you know, turned himself in, let's say, and the owner was gracious enough to say, oh, it's all right, you know, I'll let you go to church tomorrow, right? And so he shows up to church today, completely asking the Lord for forgiveness, asking forgiveness of all parties, right? And then came to church and took the Lord's Supper. Well, I believe in my eyes, he's worthy, if you will. You know, he's erased all the stuff between him and the Lord by asking forgiveness for it, right? So now he's back in the worthy side, if that makes sense, right? So if you come to take the Lord's Supper, you have to make sure that you're doing it in a worthy manner. And then it says, in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Right now, there's different kinds of sins that you can commit in life, right? And what do I mean by that? There's some sins that you commit with your mind, right? And there's other sins that the Bible will kind of categorize as sins against the body, right? Now, what's a sin against the body, right? Now, let's see what a sin against the body is not. Like, if I'm going down the road and I see Fred going down here, Trotting Ridge Road, and he's going 85 miles an hour, right? And I think of Fred, like, Fred, what in the world are you doing? And I have some, he almost hit my dog down the road there. You know, and I have some colorful thoughts, if you will, of Fred, you know, kind of angry thoughts, right? Well, that would be sinful. That's not necessarily sinning against the body. But let's say I go out and I get completely drunk, completely wasted. On top of that, I do some drugs and all that. That's not just a sin of the mind or just a regular sin. You're also sinning against your body. Why? Because you're doing something that's destructive to your body, right? Getting drunk, doing drugs, sexual immorality and all those kinds of things. Those are things that are basically sins against the body, things that defile or can really do harm to the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls the body of a Christian also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's what a sin against the body is, right? Drinking too much alcohol, being lazy can be a sin against the body, right? Just letting yourself waste away because all you want to do is watch TV, right? And of course, that's nothing against those that can't get up and do something. That's not the point. But those that can get up and do, man, just get out there and work, right? The Bible says that we need to be out of work. If we want to eat, we should be working. That's what the Bible says, right? And gluttony is another one. You know, eating too much peach cobbler or that raspberry cobbler. My wife went out and picked some berries the other day out of Bill and Sherry's, and she made some cobblers out of them. Man, those things are good. But I tell you, I think it would be a sin against his body if I, you know, kicked my kids out the way and I grabbed the big old giant spoon ladle and I started feeding myself the entire thing. Right? That'd be a sin against the body. Not only that, Lord, I think would get me for kicking one of my kids out the way, right? To take his raspberry cobbler, blackberry cobbler. But you know, that's another one of the sins that can be against the body. And you can kind of use your own imagination in this. I've seen some people that get angry enough to where they, not only do they get angry, which can be a sin against the body because of all the chemicals your body releases and all that kind of stuff to create stress. But what they say, they get angry and they go out and start punching walls or something. Right? I've never been guilty of that in my younger years, ever. Right? I don't know if any of you guys have. Or go out there, and, you know, but that kind of can be a sin against the body. Anything like that, you know, that harms the temple of the Holy Spirit can be a sin against the body. It's what the Bible's talking about here in verse 27. And it says, and of the blood of the Lord. One thing that we learn from the Old Testament is that in the blood, there is life. The Bible says where there's blood, there is life. And I'm kind of paraphrasing the passage that we find way back in the beginning of the Old Testament. But it says where there's blood, there's life. That's why when they were to kill animals, they were supposed to drain all the blood and all that stuff, right? So again, we can be guilty even of sin against blood, if you will, and against just life itself, our life itself. Let's look at verse 28. It says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Going back to verse 28, it says, let a man examine himself, or a woman, obviously. But what does that mean? It's just, you come here and it's a time for preparation. You know, hopefully we can kind of be in the habit of doing this anyway, but especially during the time of the Lord's Supper, you come preparing yourself, come examining yourself, see if there's anything that's between you and God, right, or between you and another person. I like to throw that one in there because if you know there's something between you and another person, guess what? The Lord hates that. The Lord hates anything that that's going to divide the body. Anything that's keeping us separated, the Lord hates it, right? So that's why I kind of throw that one in there. If you come to church and Charles had thrown a book at Dwayne last week and they got real mad at each other and Dwayne threw a rock back at him and just started this big old war up, if you will, right? They need to get that kind of thing fixed. Even if it takes 2 minutes before we take the Lord's Supper, if Charles or Dwayne, they get up and they approach each other in the back and they apologize and they forgive one another, hey, get that kind of thing fixed, right? Those kind of things ought not to be when it comes time to taking the Lord's Supper, right? We don't have time to be arguing about silly things because in my experience, 99% of the arguments that we have in church amongst the brethren are silly anyway, right? You might argue about something silly. I've seen people argue, and you might have seen this too, argue about the color of the carpet, color of the paint. You know, seriously, the kind of curtains that we're going to put up. I was in a church one time when they were voting in a business meeting, kind of like we did this morning. They did the business meeting right before the evening service, and they were voting what color of curtains. They was going to get new curtains, and everybody was excited, and thank the Lord, you know, that we're going to get new curtains, right? And they had three colors of curtains, and they were all a tan or brown color. There's not really much color between that. Ladies, they somehow found about 50 colors between that little color shade, right? But I saw like tan and brown and another tan. I couldn't tell the difference. I think maybe one had kind of like little brown speckles of thread in. I don't know. That's what I looked at. And I said, hey, they're all fine to me. Well, guess what ended up happening? Two of the ladies ended up getting in a pretty heated argument about the color because it didn't go with the car. Something. It was something silly, and I just kind of stopped listening. But I remember sitting there thinking about that. Well, for a while, one of the ladies ended up leaving the church and for a couple weeks and just angry about the color of the curtains. And that might sound extremely silly. And ladies, if it's that important to you, God bless you, honestly, because if it was up to me, we'd have concrete floors, I think, and that'd probably be it. I'd be happy with that, right? Right, men? Some of y'all men understand this. I'm thankful for my wife because she likes to decorate. So we all have been over to the house. Man, I think the house looks great. But if it was up to me, I don't even know if I would be smart enough I don't know what the word would be to put up curtains. It doesn't really bother me that there's not curtains. But when there is curtains, I really like it. Like, oh, it's kind of nice to have curtains, all right? I just didn't know I liked it that much, right? So it's nothing against the ladies that would argue about the carpet, right? Because I appreciate the attention to detail and the effort that goes into making things nice. But at the same time, sometimes we argue about stuff in church and things get between some of the brethren in the church. It can be silly. When you step back and think about it, you think about what we're doing in this world. We're fighting the good fight, as Paul said it. You know, we should be put on the whole armor of God against the principalities of this world and the powers of darkness. And then if you think about it, then now we're getting a fight over curtains. You know, I mean, it's silly. It is. Right? But the devil can come and he can blow these things up and make them seem really huge and really ugly, and it's just the end of the world now because the curtains are a different color. Right? So it's those kinds of things that ought not to be happening in church. You know, sometimes we just have to agree to disagree. If you like wooden pews and this person over here wants metal chairs, I mean, just, hey, the church is going to vote one way and hopefully we're humble enough to accept the church's decision. Right? But that's just the way of life. Right? It's just the way of life. Things can't be coming between us like that. Verse 29 says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Right? And that's an immediate thing. As soon as you're eating and you're drinking judgment to yourself, the Bible says, not discerning the Lord's body. What it's saying is you're not discerning, you're not putting care into the ritual, if you want to call it the ritual of the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, you're not putting any kind of care into it. You're just kind of taking the Lord's Supper. It's kind of, okay, Lord's Supper time. Let's go do this. And okay, it's over. What are we going to eat? You know, you took no time for prayer. You didn't think about any of those things. And let's say you came this morning not thinking about that. Hopefully you're prepping now as I'm speaking, right? Because it's an important thing. And one of the reasons the Lord stopped speaking to mankind way back in the book of Malachi, and there was a period of about 400 years when he didn't speak to anybody, right? What was the reason? It's because people were coming to the temple and giving sacrifices, not really paying attention. They didn't really care. All right, I got a lamb. Let's go up here and do it. And they weren't putting their heart into anything. The Lord said, you can give me sacrifices all day, but if your heart's not in it, I don't even want it. You can give me offerings all day, but if your heart's not in it, I don't want it, the Lord said. And that was one of the reasons he said, forget this. You know, I'm not going to talk to man for 400 years, right? And that was one of the reasons. So we don't want to be guilty of that. We don't want to be guilty of not discerning the Lord's body. And again, let's say you're aware of something in your life that's not supposed to be there. You're doing something that's, let's say it's not, you don't think it's affecting you, but it might be affecting somebody else. As soon as you take that drink, guess what happens? Man, you're bringing judgment on yourself. Now what? You got no excuse. You know, something bad happens to you. And I mean, that's just the way it is. All right? I don't make this stuff up. Y'all are reading it hopefully here with me, right? As soon as you eat and drink that, guess what? You're bringing judgment on yourself. In what form? I have no idea. Right? And I really don't know. But you know, it says the Lord, you're bringing judgment on yourself. Verse 30 says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. What Paul is saying here is that the reason that some of y'all here are sick and some of y'all have even died is because they're not taking the Lord's Supper seriously. Now, again, this is a heavy topic. Hopefully it is. It's the Lord's Supper. It's a heavy topic all the way around. So when the Lord says it's this serious, When you come together to remember what my son did for you, dying on the cross, his body, broken body, and shedding his blood, it needs to be a serious thing, right? Let's say we got some people downtown in the hospital down there in Halifax, and it's a group of about 20 people, and they've been told that they're dying of terminal cancer. They're not going to make it. They've got 1 month to live. And by some miracle, a guy shows up at the hospital and he has the right kind of hemoglobin, let's say, in his blood or protein in his blood to completely cure all these people. But they don't have time to make more of it, but he's only got enough blood in his body to give to these people in this hospital. So he gives them his blood, he gives up his life for them. And you can imagine for those 20 people, man, it'd be a precious thing. They thought they were going to die. They thought there was no hope. This man comes out of nowhere and saves them, and gives up his life for them, right? And you can imagine it would be pretty appropriate if, let's say, these people got together once a year and they kind of celebrated that fact, celebrated life, and said, man, let's just get together and remember this individual that gave his life for us, right? Well, what happens if somebody came to that little celebration and said, well, hey, I'd like to come and do this remembrance with y'all. Let's do it. Right, and they came and they started just goofing off during the remembrance, and they was playing cards or playing their music really loud. You know, that'd be pretty offensive, if you ask me. It'd be pretty disrespectful to the memory of that person. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord, right? When we come here and we're not taking the Lord's Supper worthily, and we're just kind of being nonchalant about it, and it's no big deal. Guess what? God's not going to appreciate that. You know, the sacrifice his son made, he's not going to appreciate it. And I think that's why he says, hey, immediately, as soon as you drink that cup and you're not worthy, guess what? Man, judgment's coming down. I don't want to be in the way, right? That's up between you and the Lord. Verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, right? I think that's a pretty good principle of life. If we could learn to tie our own shoes before we tripped over them, you know, somebody else wouldn't have to come and point out that your shoes are untied, right? So what the Bible is saying here says, hey, judge yourself. You know, before you go and put yourselves in under the judgment of the Lord, why don't you judge yourself? Why don't you fix yourself? You know, as we mature as Christians, hopefully we can better recognize the times when we're not walking with the Lord. When we've kind of fell away, let's say, just a little bit, or we've done something to somebody that we shouldn't have, or we've sinned, whatever way it should be. You know, one of the marks of a Christian in 1 John, the Bible says, is that we're sensitive to sin. You know, sin's not going to feel good to us, right? As the more we mature in Christ, the more sin's going to affect us. It could be something silly. It could be something completely silly. Let's say this is one little conviction I have, and this is nothing to be put on anybody else, but it's something for me that I have a problem with. If I see somebody else do this, it doesn't really bother me, to be honest, honestly, right? But when I do it, it bothers me. So let's say I'm typing my notes up, and every time I come to type up the word God, and of course this is also proper English, right? But if I type the word God or Jesus or anything like that, and I forget to put a capital letter in front of it, I almost can't go on before I go back and fix it. And again, this is a personal conviction of mine. If y'all don't do this, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. Trust me. But for me, sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'll go back and get it in a minute. You know, and I'll keep typing and it'll bug me. I can't even keep going. I got to go back and fix it, right? But for me, that little thing, it just bothers me, right? It's not, again, that's my own thing. If y'all don't feel the same way, that's fine. But for me, if that just bothers me, sin should be kind of the same way. Even if it's just something silly and small, right? Let's say you were on the way home from work and the Lord put on your heart, hey, you should go by and say hi to so-and-so just for a quick 5 minutes before you go home. And you ignore that. It's going to bother you if you really feel it was from the Lord. You're going to get home and feel like, man, I probably should have stopped, you know, and I didn't do it. It's going to bother you a little bit. You know, as we mature in the Christian life, sin is just going to, it's going to bother you more and more, you know, as long as you're continuing to walk with the Lord. Verse 31 again says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. That's one of the things I think that should be very freeing to us. Right, the Bible also talks about that in Hebrews 12. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. Right? So if you're getting punished by the Lord, I mean, it's not fun, obviously. But at the same time, man, praise the Lord that he's not just going to stand back and let us be condemned with the world once everything's said and done. You know, the Lord comes and he gives you a little smack on the wrist. You know, at this point in your life, well, thank the Lord for that. You know, thank the Lord that he's not just going to ignore me and let me perish with the rest of the world. And that's what the Bible is saying here. But when we are judged, verse 32 again, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Now again, thank the Lord for that, right? And the thing I want to point out to before I have the choir come up and sing, and after the choir sings, we'll have the ushers come forward and get everything ready. But one of the things I want to point out is going back to that question, why are we sick? And this is, it's a very basic topic. It's not really much depth to it, if you will. It's kind of on the surface. But, you know, just out there, kind of a warning. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons we could be sick. You might have swam in a toxic pool when you were 12 just because you felt like it and you knew better. Right? That might be why you're sick. I don't know. But one of the reasons you could cross off there, let's say, have you ever come in here and you've taken the Lord's Supper unworthily? Think about that. Is that maybe why I'm sick? You know, I'm having problems in life? I don't know. Might as well get it fixed. Why not? Right? Why not just check that off the list and say, you know what? I'm right between me and the Lord. I'm right. Right? And if you are a Christian, you take the Lord's Supper unworthily, it's going to bother you. So why not just get it fixed? You're not going to regret fixing it, if that makes sense, right? So it's just, you know, if I can encourage everybody, just really take the Lord's Supper very seriously. You know, it's a serious thing. It's nothing to be playing around with. It's something serious, right? The Lord doesn't want to see us coming in here just messing around, you know, shoving each other into the bushes and leaving the water in the sinks on full blast, you know, and just, you know, goofing off, if that makes sense. That's basically the bottom line. Don't be goofing off, you know, and stuff when it comes time to take the Lord's Supper. It's a very serious thing. Because what does the Bible say? Otherwise, you're just taking judgment upon yourself. You're voluntarily jumping into the stream of judgment of the Lord and saying, all right, go ahead and judge me. You know, let something happen. I don't know, right? Whatever it could be. You can use your imagination and however many different explanations you want for this. The bottom line is, you know, it could be a reason some people are sick. I don't know. The Bible says it, not me, right? I'm just kind of here relaying the message the Lord put on my heart this morning. But as we get ready for the Lord's Supper, like I said, be examining yourself. You know, even if, let's say you don't even know if there's anything wrong with you. Be like David. David, what was some of his, we see this in many of his Psalms. He would tell the Lord to search his heart, you know, point out if there's any errors, you know, in any of his ways. Show him the error of his ways, you know, whatever it could be. You know, ask the Lord. Maybe there's something now. Maybe this is an opportunity to get something off your chest. I'll use one more example before I have the choir sing. I remember one of the things me and Angela learned, one of the things I learned, right? Angela knew this all along somehow. But one of the things I learned that it's better to talk about stuff than to just hold it in. I thought it was better to hold it in because I didn't want to trouble my wife with it, right? Some of y'all ladies are kind of smiling because y'all like to hear the stuff that's troubling your husbands for some reason or other. I don't know why, right? I don't even like talking about it, but my wife wants to hear about it. So for several years, probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 years, you know, I just lived the life of it. If I felt like she needed to know it, I would go and tell her, right? That was a husband. I knew what she needed and what she couldn't handle, right? Well, I don't know what happened. We went to bed late one Friday night or Saturday night, and we had to be up early the next morning. And she's like, is there something bothering you? That's how it started. And I'm thinking to myself, I should just not say anything because I'm going to go to sleep and you got to get up early, right? So that night, man, we got to talking, and what I thought was going to be a small conversation of this is what's bothering me turned out to, why didn't you tell me before? What else are you not telling me? And y'all know how that goes. And I just kind of surrendered to it, and I just, after fighting for a couple hours, I just Finally, I told her everything. I didn't care what it was. I got a hangnail that's bothering me and kicked my toe. I told her every single thing that I could think of. And I'll be honest with you. If y'all remember what it was like to be saved, then I don't mean to make light of salvation. But I tell you what, I felt the biggest weight lifted off of me that I ever could feel in my life. I didn't know what happened. I was like, man, I feel like I just got saved again because I just let all this stuff off, you know. And basically what the bottom line was, I let my wife act in the manner that she was called to be in a marriage, right? Wives are supposed to help out with that. They're supposed to be helpmeets, right? Husbands, right? I had to learn this, and I advise y'all, if y'all just get it over with. Get it over with, get it done. You won't regret it. You'll feel better afterwards, right? But it's the same thing with life, sometimes with sin. Sometimes with sin, you got a sin in your life sometimes you might not know about. And that's the reason David says, hey, Lord, whatever it is, show me what it is, right? And if the Lord comes out and he points it out, I tell you what, if you get it fixed, you're just going to feel better. That's just the way the world works. That's the way Christianity works. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. I mean, that's just the way it is. Just like 2 + 2 = 4, if you get rid of some sin in your life, you're just going to feel better, right? So if I can encourage y'all, you know, take the Lord's Supper seriously. Take communion seriously. You know, and if there's anything in your life that needs to be fixed, fix it now, because you're going to be bringing judgment on yourself. If there's something in your life that you don't know needs to be fixed, you know, before we take the Lord's Supper, take a couple minutes and ask God, Lord, is there something between me and you that needs to be fixed? You know, point it out. He might not point anything out. He might be okay with where you're at right now, right? But then again, he might point something out. He might give you an opportunity to fix it. You know, and you'll walk out of here feeling 100 pounds lighter because of obeying the Lord and just getting rid of some of your sin. Let's go ahead and pray, and then I'm going to have the choir sing before we start off with communion, all right? Dear Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for communion. Lord, I pray, Father, that your word, Lord, will stick to us. Lord, that we'll take it serious, Father, that we'll be very just sensitive, Father, to your leading, to any kind of sin that we have in our life. Lord, I pray this will be a time and we can make it just one of the biggest habits in our life, Lord, that we know the Lord's Supper is coming up. Father, we know that it's time to honor your Son, Lord, and the sacrifice that he made for us. Lord, I just pray, Father, that we'll take it seriously. Lord, that we'll look at what your Son did for us, Father, and we'll just be in awe, Lord, in reverence, Lord, but also just very thankful and humble, Lord, for everything he's done. Lord, bless the choir as we sing, Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen.